This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling greedy. Boy, I do.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, and many others, alias. I am the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone contacts tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. R323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Our producer tonight is not other than Ali, sometime we have Kermit. Them two put on a spectacular performance, combining their skills on Guardian Radio for many of the talk show hosts that comes on Guardian Radio 96.9. So we'd like to also give our thanks to our producers who make us better talk show hosts. Today's topic, we're going to talk about the Prospect Ridge land development. We're going to talk about the comments from opposition leader, the Honorable Brave Davis. And then we talk about the comments made by St. Anne's MP, the Honorable Brent Simonet, who is doing a wonderful job in his constituency. But he also gives a lot of good solutions to many of our problems when it comes to matters that are before us now. So we want to comment on both the opposition, and then we also want to comment on Mr. Simonet's part from being the government, because the two of them are right. That's why sometimes it's good to listen to the comments that sides make. And if you listen closely, you'd see where they are closely compatible and are actually making sense. And both of them have given the right answers to the solution when it comes to the Prospect Ridge land development. Okay, so we're going to get into that. I just want to say that many of you who have been listening to the show for the years that Guardian Radio has allowed me to be on, you have heard the many guests that has come into Guardian Radio and talk about how we have been working together for many years. I just want the Bahamian people to know that I've been working for many years when it comes to development to our country and how we can bend the curve on crime, poverty, how we can improve the condition in the prison, how we can make the inner city community a vibrant community where we can have less crime, less poverty, and more persons who are responsible in making the right choices in life, and that is provide a better opportunity with housing, employment, you know, and et cetera, education, and et cetera. And that is the main goal for me. That is my solution, and that is my fight on finding ways and how we can curve the tragic events that have been happening in our country. Reading the newspaper, you'd see in the Nassau Guardian, where they have 6 shot dead and 2 others injured, especially a little kid. And, you know, it's sad in our country. You know, I just want to comment on it for a few minutes. It's very sad in our country that these incidents happen in our country. I want to send my condolences to so many people. Oh, man, you know what's the Lewis? That's 6 different family with hundreds of family members. You know how much mourning is going on right now in this country? And to add it on, all the persons who are being murdered recently in the country, you know how much mourning and pain and suffering the Bahamian people are going through right now? And if you look at it, it seems that it's the bad boys today who shot and killed these six dead young men in the car. Okay, so we are mad with the six. I mean, we are mad with the persons who shot these six persons, right? And the thing is, if we look back, we have had this incident over and over, you know, and when we see six shot dead, we need to look back at the Fox Hill incident a few years ago, similar situation. We need to look at the Carmichael Road situation, my sister and brother and his girlfriend, and both of them, two of the ladies were pregnant. We could go back to the double murder that happened in Woods Alley in the Grandstand community. We could look at the next double murder that happened in the Lewis Street area, one corner away from that particular murder. We could look at all the murders that are being happening in horrific murders. And all are similar. It's just that they're different persons who are engaging in these crimes. I just want you to know that. So it's just that the mentality of a person who commit a crime like a heinous crime, like, just say, the Fox Hill incident, okay? There are many young men today living in Nassau, New Providence right now who has that same type of mentality. And that is the main reason I came on the show, because I know deep down inside, if we don't find a way to change the mindset of the generation coming up, we're going to have more and more of the same guys. Different person, same mentality. So we have a Samuel Mujer McKenzie reincarnated into someone who just recently did this shooting. We have a next person. I won't just call Mujer because that was my friend, and I want to speak on his behalf. I don't want to call no one else our family members because it wouldn't really be right at this particular time. But I'm just giving an example. It's just like Samuel Mujer McKenzie has been reincarnated, and it's somebody else who's pulling the trigger, but same mentality, same situation. These young men probably been in prison, et cetera, et cetera. Now listen to me. I'm not taking up for nobody out there doing foolishness, okay? I'm just using my expertise on what I experience and what I see still going on in Nassau and Providence today, because I'm in close contact with many of the young men who are involved in crime. You see them every day. So we're always having discussion. I know them from this baby. I know what they do. So I know how to come on radio and explain it. So I'm explaining this to you guys because, like I said, I have expertise in these particular matters. All right? So it's like reincarnation. And when we see things like this, this is going to continue to keep on happening in our country. I'm hearing the Minister of National Security and the Prime Minister say they're going to use all the resources to apprehend these young men who are the culprits in this particular matter, which I would say to the Prime Minister, the Minister of National Security, I think you guys have been doing that from you came in office, because we've had many guys who have committed murders, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force has been going after these guys. Some have got caught, some have not got caught, some have got killed on the streets. And it's just a cycle that continues in our country, because we're not doing the right thing, okay? We need to transform the prison. We need to develop the communities to a standard where we have persons can actually strive and be successful residing in their community. We have the wide education. You know, we have to get into the schools, you know, because there's a lot of sexual abuse matters in the country, hundreds. So if we're having sexual abuse against our kids, could you imagine when these kids grow up knowing they're being sexually abused from their parents or loved one or a neighbor or a stranger? They turn out to be persons who tend to be involved in a life of crime. And statistics shows that kids who don't grow up with a mother and father are more likely to develop a violent behavior and are less successful in life than those who grow up with a mother and father who teach them the right way. So we have a serious problem in our country. And again, my condolences goes to the family. I really feel it. You know, I feel it because, listen, I have had so many family members killed, so many friends killed, you know. And it's just like yesterday. So when I'm saying these things, it's just the same thing happening over and over, and we are not responding the way we're supposed to respond. Even if the police go and get to their investigation and they find these young men and they're brought before the court, there will be other young men, just like these young men, right after them, who will commit a heinous crime again in this country. Simple as that. So this is, I guess, this is collateral damage for us, you know. It's just collateral damage for us, you know. I just want to also say to friends and loved ones, your heart is big, right? If you know someone who is involved in crime or who somebody has a beef with and that person is trying to get him, you need to distance yourself, okay? Distance yourself. It's not about being scared. It's about preserving your life, okay? Once you become a target in National Providence in a 21/7, unless God is protecting you and you get and you went through your trial and tribulation, you accept the fact that you want to change. But if your mentality is the same and you want to be shooting six people with AK-47 and whatever you shoot the six poison with, the eight poison with, remember, what goes around comes around. One day, the guys who are responsible for the same shooting, I'm not putting more on nobody, but I have been around a very, very long time, and I know that when you harm poisons, now, many poisons would say these guys are bad, etc., yes, but a life is a life. God is the judge, and he is judging. I'm talking about the judgment of him, you know. He spins the circle. So if you don't want to change and you shoot these six poisons, in the next year, 2 or 5 years or 10 years down the road, one of these guys or two of these guys who's in war, or 3 of these guys or 4 of these guys in war, one or two might spend lifetime in prison for a different matter, or a 4 or 3, or whoever was involved, they themselves will become a victim. And that's just how it goes. You know, that's the rule. You know, so I'm advising poison out there, if you know someone who is in problem and someone is an ex poison is trying to get them, isolate yourself. Be careful who you give a ride to in your car, because some of you want to be macho. Some of you know that this guy is a shooter, knows that he has enemies. You want to be seen with him, so you're going to give them a ride to a particular spot. And that would be a last ride you ever give to anybody, because what's supposed to be for him, it might be for him. It never supposed to be for you. But your stupidity, and you're supposed to know better, cost you your own life. Okay? So isolate yourself. Parents, brothers and sisters who love their brothers and sisters, you know, we love our family. But you got to know when to separate yourself. If you know someone is bringing destruction to your house, you know they're going to shoot at the guy 2 or 3 times. You know the guy hasn't been shooting at somebody else, okay? Now guys are chasing after him. You can't let this person in your house. I don't care if it's your son or et cetera. He is going to cost you. He's going to cost someone dearly. Because the gun that are on the streets now, guys press the trigger, 10 shots coming out, okay? So unless we can curb the mentality of our young man in the country, we are going to continue to have this mass shooting in our country. Remember Fox Hill. Remember Michael Road. Remember the double murders. Remember the 3 young men who got killed on the sports center many years ago. Our first triple murder on the sports center when their truck was lit afire on the sports center road. I remember all of the first set of triple murders and double murders. I can remember the first person get released particular person in life, Icky, was the first person to get released on bail for a murder charge. And I can remember once that person got bail, everyone else started getting bail in this country. Okay? So be careful of your surroundings. If you know somebody who is involved and has a beef with a particular individuals, you need to separate yourself if you want to preserve your life. If you want to preserve your life of your loved ones and family members, turn away from your violent behavior and understand that one day, the same trigger you pull on somebody else, one day, that trigger is going to be turning on you. Okay? I have Susan Nuri will be calling in a few minutes, so I want to just say that. And I just, again, my condolences to the family members, even those who are injured now. I just hope that God guide and protect you and keep each and every one of you safe, because it's going to be a very, very painful road, you know, losing your loved ones. Okay, so we were talking today about, let me go my, to, okay, sorry about that. I get a little emotional when I speak about these matters, because I was one who was involved with these things. I know some of these heinous crimes can be prevented. You know, some cannot be prevented. But I know that if we do the right thing in a 21/7, I know that we can change the mindset in this country. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Prospect Ridge Land Development. We have the Honorable Philip Brave Davis told parliamentarians that the Prospect Ridge land development is deeply flawed. He said this will only provide housing for a couple hundred Bahamians. He said the government has no clear vision, no plan, and no comprehensive policy. The PLP leader was given his contribution to debate on a new land development. Davis said he supports the Bahamian dream of home ownership for all Bahamians, but there has to be a clear plan. He said many Bahamians do not believe they will qualify for these properties because they do not already fall within the circle of special privilege. Wow. Now, I don't know if Mr. Nuri is there. I know he's listening. He isn't calling yet. So I'm going to text him. So I'm going to comment on this. Yes, I think the opposition leader is speaking true. I truly believe that the housing program is not, how should I say, many people are not qualified, because I don't think the powers to be understand severity of the poverty that exists in our country. I think they believe everyone is middle class. There is no more middle class in this country. So, Mr. Davis, you are right. Many people will not qualify, and it's only for a couple hundred Bahamians. I feel deeply in my heart. I watch around the world. I watch the Philippine boxer, Paco. Look how many homes he built in his country. I think he built over, 5,000 or more homes. So we have 700 islands, 700 keys, and there are many more islands out there. I believe that any government who claims to have the best interests of the Bahamian people should say to themselves, we have a growing population, and a caller last week, or week before last, corrected me. I said 250,000. They said about 500,000 Bahamians are actually here in the Bahamas. And I believe that, knowing that knowing that we have a growing population, that we should say to ourselves, if you're the government, you should say, in a 5-year period, I'm looking to develop subdivisions and looking to build about, I'd say, 5,000 to 10,000 homes within that 5-year period. I think that would be appropriate for any government to be seeking because of the growing population in our country. You know, we're too clustered. And Nassau, we could develop subdivisions on the family islands that are already developed. We can develop some of the family islands for development to build low-cost homes for Bahamians in the country. We have to depopulate Nassau Providence. That's why we have so much chaos in our country today. I think it's time now for Bahamians to go to the family islands, some peace and quiet, so that their mindset can change and create a new chapter in your life and create a new community, a new Bahamas, where Bahamians can travel anywhere from Exuma to Cat Island to Rum Key to Andras and vacation home, second homes, because we're too clustered in Nassau Providence. We have outgrown Nassau. We have to develop the family island. So I'm saying that any government that is serious about saying they want to help the Bahamian people, they need to say to themselves, that my government is willing to build 5,000 to 10,000 homes. Every year, we are looking to give away 1,000 homes to Bahamians of all walks of life. Because when you're talking about qualified, you know, how can I get a low-cost home? I'm a Bahamian, I'm poor, but I have less than $5,000 in the bank. But I'm a Bahamian, but I'm not qualified. So that leaves me out. So it's unfair to me, knowing that homes are being built, subdivisions are being built, and I'm unqualified. You know, that is unfair. It's supposed to be any Bahamian who wants to live in Prospect Ridge or any subdivision that the government has made available, you should be qualified as long as you're a Bahamian. There should be no exception, because if the government is doing their research, then they know that. They say that out of the 250,000 or the 500,000 Bahamians that reside in Nassau Providence, 90% don't have $1,000 in the bank. So that means the government is not doing their research and understand this. They're not doing their research, because this research, what I just gave you, is quite accurate. Because if you're saying to me that we have a 500,000 Bahamians that reside in Nassau Providence and the Bahamas, large, 85 to 90% don't have $1,000 in the bank. So you know what that means? That Prospect Ridge subdivision, it's not going to work, because that's the statistics right there that the government's supposed to go off and understand that if the majority of my citizen, and I'm the leader, and I'm looking to empower them, but 90% of my citizen don't have $1,000 in the bank. That, something else on to that. We have, by statistics, it was 47,000 before the COVID-19 epidemic, high unemployment in the country. Now it's risen to about 70,000 to 80,000. Me, my statistics are always going to be higher. I believe that over 200,000 or more Bahamians are not working. Or even more than that. But we're going to go by the statistics, right? So, again, the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has not done the research, because this is statistics to show you that if we have this high unemployment in the country, then how are Bahamians going to qualify for prospect rich? That means you're still looking to make money out of this whole issue. Mind you, this is Bahamian Crown land. Okay? I would never say nothing bad about the Queen of England ever again, because I heard in a speech to the throne when she visited Nassau, New Providence, she talked about the high unemployment in the country, and she talked about how she want her ministers to build homes and create jobs for her subjects here at Nassau, New Providence. So it's not the Queen. Okay? Okay, so your tone and voice is appropriate for the level of mess in this country. Politics is everything and the hell with the citizen. I cover your prayers. Thank you very much. Our government, these simple statistics, the high unemployment, the fact that more than half of our citizens in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas don't have $1,000 in the bank, speaks volume to what is happening in our country. Our country is a serious mess, you know, and we're going to continue to have people getting killed, like the six shot dead in about 5 seconds. You know, those simple statistics, I just want you to understand that. Okay. I wonder if Miss Nuri, didn't call yet. Hasn't called yet. Let me see if I can reach you. And that shows you Prospect Rich is a great idea, but it has to be across the board for every Bahamian in the country to be able to get one of those homes. Okay? We have a caller on the line. That's Mr. Nuri. Or is that the caller? That's Nuri? That's the caller? They want to speak? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
No, this ain't Nuri, this is the blind one.
Hey, go on, man, go on, boss.
Everything cool, eh?
Yeah, man, everything good.
I was just sitting out one of my brethren telling him I respect I, you know?
Yeah, man, thanks, man, I really
appreciate it. Yeah, and I'm telling him how I like to listen to the show. Tell him I like to listen to the show, and one of these days, because I tell him, say, how you be helping, I believe you be helping the people in the community.
And the country.
Huh?
And the country.
Yeah, and the country. So I say, man, if, you know, they you like, use one of them people, them. You know, God, if things work out, I would like to be able to, you know, Muff Road. Yeah, I'm telling him who it is too, Muff Road. he say, I mean, I was saying that, you know, I like what you be doing, and, you know, as much people, I mean, it just encourages much people to help people like you, because you in the area where you helping people. You know, I don't want to say the ghetto or whatsoever, but you know what time it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so. What's happening, man? You hear all of this murder going on and stuff? Last days, they're telling us it's the last days from that time.
It's the last days because men themselves have gotten greedy, and we forget what our priorities are. And our priorities are to help our brothers and sisters. We are into greed. We into lies and lies and lies, and that's why we're so corrupted now in our country.
It's good. You consider this whole thing like the bunch of murders and what people say, senseless killing. Something to do with vigilante justice, eh?
It has to do with all of that, all those components put together. Because if you listen, you would see the young man who got killed, one of them is the son of Shaba. And you know Shaba got killed.
Shaba from two corners away.
Yeah, Shaba got beheaded and lit a fire in the backseat of a car, a trunk. Remember that? That's about 15, 20 years ago. Now, his son, who apparently was involved in gang activities, who was shot and killed, he himself, just prior, 3 days ago, was shot and killed. So if you look at it right, you would see where the father himself got killed and Shaba himself was involved in...
You saying Shaba's son is one of them yesterday, or you say he got killed a couple of days ago?
Yeah, he's one of those guys from... I was listening to some of the younger fellas talk, and they said...
That was a little humble little brother. I remember when we stayed in them jobs, he was in his little truck toting garbage and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yes. So...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and then... And then when you look at it, right, mm-hmm. if you look at what has happened, you'll see where you're talking about retaliation. No one's going to target you for nothing unless you get robbed or someone put a hit on you, you know, and you're innocent. And most of these times, these guys are shooting at one another in the street. See, we don't know how serious this is. You know, you're talking about the police. The police is just a joke when it comes to guys on the streets who told high-powered weapon.
That's
they're
why I like to talk to you. And they're shooting over this way. Ain't pretty enough nothing. And that's
a yes, and they shoot at one another, you know, close and corner with high-powered weapons. And, you know, their adrenaline is going, and, you know, and this will be a face
so
in the country.
So, do you think they'd be normal or they on ecstasy or some kind of pills? I mean, marijuana, I don't think...
That combined also with a lot of anger and frustration.
And alcohol?
All those combined together.
Oh, that's a mad soul
right here. And... If the father figure or mother figure is not in that child's life, then we're going to have more young men who participate in these.
Scrooge, I always say, you tell the story how you turn around your life and you're working on things every day trying to be a better person.
Yes.
For you and your country and your family.
Yes.
But Scrooge, tell me something. Should us parents, all the parents, and Scrooge, I know I born in 70, I ain't sure when you born.
74.
74?
Yeah,
okay, them said them with 1 year after independence. Or them said them who like born in the '80s. Not all now, it's just a few of them. It seems like they heartless or either their parents ain't around, they die, or their parents was young parents who had them and didn't supervise them and teach them all the sensible things. Scrooge, you always talk about turning around. Scrooge, what responsibility parents need to take right now in the situation where either their children killing people out there or their children are getting snuffled? Because this ain't just happen overnight, Scrooge. You think these some of these parents... I mean, I know for sure some of the parents in Dudley, but what's your view on it? What do you think for the future, what they need to start doing different from just coming on a TV crying when their children are dead or killed somebody, child?
First, you have to admit that there's a problem with your child. If your child comes in your house and there's a juice in the fridge, okay, he didn't put it there. Simple as these things. And
simple
he comes
things.
In the house. He just comes in the house. And he just... Open the fridge without asking mommy or daddy to go in the fridge, you have a problem.
They need to respect authority.
You, the first thing the kid's supposed to do is mommy or grandmom, grammy, I thirsty, can I have some juice in the fridge?
Yes.
Simple things like this. Mm-hmm. Parents nowadays would allow their children to see other, let me give you a good example. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing and giving education. I see 4 kids playing in the yard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next kid get his toy. The toy is not the next kid's toy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next child would get mad for the next child toy, right? Starts crying, goes to their mom, right? And tell their mom, that's a toy. And then the mom come there and say, well, who toy this is? You don't have to do that. Y'all can share the toy, you know? Like
mm-hmm.
trying to tell the child, trying to make her child happy, say, let me use the toy. No, it don't work like that. How could you cry for something that is not your own? It's not your own.
They're growing them up the wrong way.
Right. You know, and if the child cried, the mother herself would pamper the child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If the child's, if I'm sitting on and I'm eating my mini chicken. Let me give you an example, and this is our fault. I'm eating a mini chicken. I'm a grown man. Okay? A child stand up, sees me eating my mini chicken, starts to look at me. It could be a little girl. Now, listen, this
mm-hmm.
could be a little girl, age of 3, 4, 5. Her parents then probably up and down on the road,
mm-hmm.
okay? She sees me there. You don't know if I's a pervert. You don't
mm-hmm.
know if I's a whatever it is.
Oh,
she would see me there, and she would come there. Give me a piece of chicken now. She ain't say, please, listen, give me a piece of chicken.
No
and
problem.
I want chicken now.
Yes, yes, that's right. I want chicken now. No please, no mister, nothing.
You see?
No brought up C. And that's where it starts from, right there in the home, you know.
And that's it's our biggest problem right now in the country. I'm so fed up. I be standing up sometime and I wonder what kind of parents these people is. I believe
where they come from.
I believe, listen, a lot of people have children. Listen, let me tell you, a lot of people have children in this country, but they are no parent.
No, they're heartless.
You know? They are no parent.
The world is suffering.
They are no parent.
No.
Across the board. You're teaching the children no discipline. So that's why the kind of stuff you see up in our country right now is because of these small things lead to big things.
Some of them ain't had no discipline from their parents. Either their parents die or their parents grow them up stinking rude the same way. Shrewd, let me ask you something before so you could finish because I like to listen to you, Shrewd, because you talk real stuff, all right? And that's what we need more of, like, C. Allen Johnson say from Freeport, we need the conversations like what you usually have, and we need more conversations like what you usually have. But let me ask you this last thing. This Murphy man, who's the director or the commissioner by the prison, right?
Yes,
either last week, Friday, or something, was reported on the news that either this guy's in prison carrying on wild. For some reason, it seems like the commissioner want to put his foot down on... For years, we know cigarette and food is like money in jail. For some reason... It sounds confusing, and I'm not really sure. I know it was in the papers. I don't know if you can find it from last week, or in the papers Monday or last week, Friday. He's saying, like, they're trying to make sure the guys understand that the area how they just built this prison part where they're putting them, it's a no-smoking zone, and they're messing up the walls, they're messing up everything. But I believe from growing up small, I remember that the reason why they let these guys and smoke cigarettes around the world is like to keep either their nerves calm or smoke. They either get 30, 40, 60, 80, 100 years or they have some serious kids. For some reason, they used to give the cigarettes away free, then they start selling it. Now, I feel like it ain't what you do, it's how you do it. The commissioner, Mr. Murphy, up by the prison, so I think... You need to be careful with this one because I feel like guys to be on the block. I see people get on word for certain things when they want it, and there's people in my bad mind and tell you that you'll do this with somebody, you do that. You know, I don't want them kind of things them to be happening, man. You know,
yeah.
You can't stop people from smoking or whatsoever.
Yeah.
But until we could get the situation sort of either put the smokers by the smokers, I don't know
yes.
how they could do it. But so. You can't leave them. I know
no.
you can put your foot down with your officers, them take away all the cigarettes, but in the night when you ain't there, and they can't all like animals with one another. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. It ain't like, they're trying to keep the dope or the weed and, what they gonna fool with the cigarette, what legit? So I think they need to really be careful with that. It ain't what you do, Scrooge. It's how you do it. You might be against it. I ain't for cigarette, no. I think that's a bad thing, but... I kind of should understand the situation with them up there. Until they see their God and God get that away and take that away from them, we need to be careful.
Yes, you really give a good comment there, and I can respond to it.
I'll hang up and listen. You keep up the good work. Be encouraged, my brother.
First of all, Charles Murphy, he is the prison superintendent. I think that he is a strict superintendent, probably because he had been a prison officer all of his life. And I think that
if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
By him using his discretion, it's not all for the better good. Because what we need to understand is that there are innocent persons in prison. And then we have some hardened criminals who deserve to be in prison. But it's combined together. And what you have here, what most persons don't know, is that up in prison is a hell hole. So some persons need to smoke their marijuana just to get out of the world, just to get out of the world. Some guys need to smoke cigarettes because, listen, you're locked down 48 hours a day. You're around males. You're taken away from your family, your loved ones, your family. You're around balls. You are around different walks of criminals. You're petty criminals, hardened criminals, So it's a mixture. So some people, just want to smoke and get their minds clear. I understand that they built a new section of the prison. I don't think you should take away the prison. Prisoners are... cigarettes and etc. I think that, like I said again, it's crazy up in the prison. We have rapists in prison, we have murderers in prison, we have innocent people in prison, we have the prison officers themselves complaining about the prison condition and applicant for pay increase. Better conditions. So you can imagine you live in a hellhole where the prisons themselves are animals. The prison officers are living in an animal environment. The prison officers, them, some are abusive, some are not abusive. You know, so it's just hell up there. You know, we have to try and see how we can be able to accommodate the inmates up there, to show them that we are humanitarian, because we're creating animals, and the animals we're creating are less like who shot who. When we find out the information about who shot these six young men, I bet you those poisons were in war, poisons who were in prison, have been to prison. And if you check that background further, you'd see, if you do some background check, like I talk about Shabazzan as one of the young men who getting killed, we'd see they have some type of history where their father or mother was not involved in life. I'm not using this as no excuse to go out and kill nobody, but this is the reason why many of our young men are going astray. The prison is a hellhole, and we shouldn't take away all their privilege because of the COVID-19. The prisoners themselves have not been able to see their loved ones because of the COVID-19 protocol. So many of them are being taken advantage of. The prison superintendent is always going to say that there's no problem. Just like the government is always going to say there's no problem. They're always right. They're never going to say they're doing something wrong. And that's our problem today in this country. Lies too much. Yes, there is a problem in the prison, okay? The prisoners has not seen their loved ones for many, many months since the COVID-19 epidemic. Yes. Okay. Are we going to take this call? And we're going to go to our topic.
If you'd like.
Nuri, go on. Nuri, if you're there, you could call back. Okay. Because I want Nuri to comment, because we're going to our regularly scheduled program. Go ahead, Miss Nuri. You're there, Nuri? That's not Nuri? Okay, go ahead, caller. Sorry.
Yeah. That was me on the last call.
No problem. No problem, sir.
I
my bad.
About my contribution. But on the topic of the home and the problem, how you spoke about it, is actually one of the first problems, I think. And you were truthful about it, and it is the truth. But like you said, mommy and grammy. See, and it starts from the Constitution. Because I'm a father of five, right?
Yes, sir.
I was a child at 21. I'm a young man.
Yes, sir.
It was times when I wanted control of my kids, or wanted not possession. What's the word I'm looking for?
Custody. Joint custody. Joint custody.
I can't hear you.
Joint custody. You
can
hear me?
You can hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to say to get to my point real quick and not to run on. Yes, when they say mothers have all, if you're not married, mothers have all the rights to their children, for one, right? And then the thing about it is that females, every female in the world actually at least wants to have one child. Now, I don't know if every female in the world actually wants to have a partner, life partner or whatsoever.
Yes, sir.
But what I feel like is women today now are all about competing with their counterparts.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Everything is like, all women right now are inspiring to be exactly what the father did not make them to be. Now, I'm not being male chauvinistic, because I think women are one of the most important things on earth God made, because without a woman, I wouldn't even be here.
Yes.
But from you abandoning the home, the mother especially, and from the fathers are not in the home, we will continue and until the law changes that a father doesn't have any say over his child, even though it takes him to be able to decide whether or not he bonds an X chromosome baby or an XY chromosome baby.
Yes.
He is the decider, right?
Yes.
And then when the child is brought onto the earth, he is told by the authority, the competent authority, and the society that he has no rights to his child.
Yes.
And so therefore,
yes,
like
right.
You say, a mother coaxes a child in one way, and a father deals with a child in the next way.
Yes.
And without that, we don't have any kind of balance, and there will not be any balance when there's a young boy and a single mother in a house, and the young boy is a man from he is at a small age.
You're right. You're
and
so right.
So that's why we have these young men. And I feel sorry for them, because everything in society, and again, I'm not being male chauvinistic, even though it may seem that way, but everything, I never hear a program or a show saying, we need to do something, help these young men to find their way. Yeah, maybe they are lost. Help them to find their way.
Yes, but, yes.
You know, this, you know, let's have this program, let's have this, this conference for young black women or this women. Help these children, but nothing for the men. And so we sit on the blocks, like you say, and we feel abandoned, we feel cheated from society.
Yes.
And then we are treated that way. And like I was a gentleman, I'm a nice guy, but you wouldn't believe up right now to the day, I won't tell you if I see a woman on the road, on the side of the road changing a tire, I don't think I would stop to help her because and all they're crying for is equality and you want your gender equality. Mm-hmm. But then, like, okay, you want everything to be fair. You want you're all right, and you should have all right. So if I could lift a tire or a big heavy box, why should I stop to help you when you're trying to lift a box and you are trying to be a strong woman, right?
Yes.
Because men in the whole source, they don't understand that, yeah, we are career men. We go to work, we do these things, and then we come home and we have to transform into asking to being a father or a daddy figure.
Yes.
You understand? And once women can realize their importance in society and in the home, until then, I think we are done, road boy.
You're right, man.
All right? So respect to you, Scrooge. It's my first time, I think, calling your show.
You did a wonderful job, though.
But I always listen to you on Fridays. The last time I heard you, I remember you were saying, they put you in a slot where probably young men who you should be, actually, it was Sparky, you said, ain't nobody listening to young men are not listening to you right now. But I represent the young men, and the truth is, there are people out there still tuned into the radio station listening to you. As young man.
Thank you very much, man. Yes, sir.
So peace out and I continue to listen and hear whatever you feedback you have to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You did a wonderful job. There's no feedback I need to say. You explained everything. What you're saying now is that woman has the majority of rights now in the country. You were saying that if we're separated, they gain custody. Mostly before the court. Men are brought before the
if
court.
If you'd like to make a call.
Once for child support, and we never can give a good explanation to the judge in many cases. And you're correct, you know, when we break up in a relationship, the woman wants to take control of the child in many cases. But most importantly, our woman need to regain their identity too. Today's woman, not the majority. The majority, but not all. Right? Not all the women. They have lost their value. Just like how we have lost our value as men, and we don't know how to be a man to woman. The woman nowadays don't know how to be a woman to a man. They want to be the man and the woman, and they want to have things their way. You know, one time ago, the man run the house. Now, in the house now, many ladies don't let the man run the house. It's either their way or the highway. Some of these ladies now want 3-4 boyfriend, and they have their boyfriend, and they still want to be in control. And they get mad if you talk to them about having a different relationship, and they saying, oh, ain't no man controlling me. I don't want to cook. The woman saying, the majority of women are saying, they ain't cooking, they ain't cleaning for no man. So, yes, that's why our homes are so dysfunctional. Let's take this call. I think Mr. Nuri's on the line. Mr. Nuri.
Hello, Scrooge.
Oh, boy. Good night. Go
sorry
ahead.
Sorry about that. Everything cool?
Yeah, everything is all right.
Good to hear your voice. Hey, Scrooge.
Yes, sir?
You hear what that gentleman say is a serious thing because women really got a lot of power, you know?
Yes, sir.
You need to hear that song with the DJ's play called by Funky D about woman.
Wow.
But you know, I wanted to tell you, you have a very wide vocabulary. You have a volume in your knowing, in your mind. I want to know, when are you going to write your book?
You know, everyone's been asking me to write a book, you know, and I'm considering I'm going to do it.
You, it ain't you. You say, well, man, think it through. See, you,
yes,
these
sir.
Counsels and advice you given, they can last for forever.
Yes, sir.
You agree with me?
Yes, sir.
So, like I say, you know, meditate on that. Write a book. Have somebody look over the words and everything. Because, like I say, all these things, I have my store, too. But all I got to say is, you know, just be focused. And when you write a booklet, someone look at it, over it, who wrote for, like, Miles Monroe.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yes, sir.
And, man, like I said before, how you got this little fame on this radio, I think you could sell over a million.
Okay. I could take that advice. I could take that advice, and I'm going to do it.
Okay. So take care.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I listen.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to say thanks to all the callers. You guys are so nice. You know, and many of them have given a lot of great input. The gentleman who spoke before the previous caller, what he said is actually the truth. We have to get our ladies now to become women again. We have to get our gentlemen now to become, our young men to become gentlemen again so that we could have a compatible, you know. It's corroded in our country, and we have to create a program where we can create the family life again in the country. I wonder if Mr. Nuri is there. Mr. Nuri. You ain't calling in, Mr. Nuri? But anyway, Mr. Nuri, if you're there, you talked about Brave Davis and the Prospect Ridge, and he talked about the fact that it would only impact hundreds and that many behemoths would be unqualified to get a home in Prospect Ridge, I think it is. And he is correct. And then, you know, because it's more like discrimination. You know, because many of us, like I said, don't have $1,000 in the bank. Many of us are unemployed. So how, if you're going to build a housing complex, then we are excluded, if you say, qualifications, you know, certain criteria you have to have in order to get a home, which is on your crown land and which your government is giving to you. So I think that's a big problem, you know. And we need to fix that. You know, we have to make these homes affordable for every Bahamian, because if you look at the statistic, like I said before, high unemployment, okay? And with a 500,000 Bahamians, 90% don't have $1,000 in the bank. So if the government is not looking at these statistics, they're not looking for your best interest, okay? So Member of Parliament, Sinan's, Member of Parliament, Brent Simonet, who was also the former Minister of the Financial Services, Trade and Industry and Immigration, suggested yesterday that the government remove custom duty on low-end building materials and just apply a flat value-added tax rate so that the Prime Minister housing plan can benefit a broader segment of potential homeowners. See, and this is actually Brave Davis, the opposition leader's right. Mr. Simonov have come up with a comprehensive plan. You know, he's talking about apply a flat value-added tax rate so that the Prime Minister housing profit plan can benefit a broader segment of potential homeowners. See, and that's correct, because you're opening the borders for us. You know, you're giving us an opportunity to compete. You know, we can compete against anyone. You know, you need to give us collateral. You know, if we don't have it, and we're behemoths, okay? And we're talking about giving something back from the natural resources, then we could use something that's coming to me to finish pay for my house. You understand? So I can be qualified just on the benefits of getting something from the natural resources. So we have to look at that. And Simon comment is actually a good comment, you know. He also talked about, it came out the comments came as parliamentary debated a resolution for development of a subdivision for a young Bahamian professional in the Prospect Ridge area in Western New Providence. The development allows the applicants who would be approved to purchase the significant reduced lots to also purchase building materials duty-free, which has prompted many to call the project unfair and discriminatory towards other Bahamians who may not be able to purchase one of these specific lots. And Mr. Simonet, you are actually right. And I'm glad you're speaking to the Prime Minister on this particular matter and giving him advice. Yes, you are right. The opposition leader, Brave Davis, yes, you are right. It would only benefit the way how the Prime Minister has the housing program right now, unless he reevaluates it and make it more accessible to the lower levels of Bahamians who are poverty-stricken. I'm talking about I'm talking about those who don't have $1,000 in the bank, and that's over, 90% of the, 500,000 Bahamians in the country? Yes. Similar suggests that there are many ways the government could make home ownership attainable for more Bahamians through particular policy changes. That's Nuri? Great.
okay, in terms of duty-free, the budget's coming up, the revenue in the country has gone virtually sideways. Let's look at the cost for the duty on building supplies. They are about 15%. Let's look at making these zero for certain types of material. Mr. Newray coming right now. So ordinary shingles, fine, zero for high-class shingles or whatever, or let's say marble as opposed to tile, one can be zero and maybe keep the other or move completely to what? So therefore, this issue that we're giving duty-free to those homes doesn't become an issue of preference to just the 83 acres. It becomes a benefit for all Bahamians who want to build their home, provided that they are Bahamians' first-time home owners. And Mr. Simonet, you are right. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, Mr. Nuri.
It's great to be on your show, thanks again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, you was one of the greatest personalities out there. You're all over the media, and it's great to see that your input is making a difference in our country. You know, because you give us all information. You know, I be there all day, and you send so many things to me, and I can say, wow, you know, and it's amazing to see that you've come very far. So I was talking about the comments said by Brent Foyce, the opposition leader, Brave Davis, when he talked about that the housing project in Prospect Ridge would only benefit a few hundred Bahamians, you know, and it'd be a disadvantage for many of us who don't have $1,000 in the bank or who are unemployed in the country and looking to own a home in the country. What is your comment on that, Mr. Nuri?
It is understandable, you know. I understand that there are a number of... Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay, my phone just went dead. Forgive me. I understand there are a number of Bahamians who want housing, and in fact that there's a housing shortage in the Bahamas. Definitely in Abaco, we see there's a housing shortage where there are people still living in tents, there are people still living in shanty towns, and creating affordable housing is part of the government's mandate. I'm not saying that they need to own the houses and rent the houses, but they should create an environment where the housing and opportunities is available to Bahamians. We know from the inner city that there are a number of persons who live in deplorable circumstances and don't have access to affordable housing, definitely in terms of renting, definitely in terms of owning. So I could echo Brent Simonet's idea that what is being offered is not adequate.
Yes.
But again, I still appreciate the effort that the Prime Minister is doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? But we do deserve more, and we should demand more. And one must appreciate what Mr. Simonet said, and I'm sure that the Prime Minister will acknowledge it, and hopefully in an immediate future that he will make more properties available, more housing available so in order for Bahamians to enjoy and appreciate.
Wow. That's great. And one thing I like about you, you know, you're straightforward. You know, you talk about we got to give kudos to the Prime Minister for even initiating it, and you're correct, you know. And yes, we have to give kudos to the opposition leader, Brave Davis, also, you know, saying that it's on, you know, we needed a little more better benefit. And then Mr. Simonet commented on how we could accommodate and make it more feasible for all Bahamians. And you gave a great, great prime answer to all of those questions in studio, on the areas. So, Mr. Nuri, the current situation that we are facing in the country now, and you talked about how we need to create more homes in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. What you think is the numbers we need to see? How many homes we're going to put? How many homes we're going to develop every year? If you were the government or the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Mr. Nuri, what you think is the estimate number?
And mind you, I appreciate what you're saying, but I cannot randomly just give a number. Surely that must be investigated. I believe that not everybody will own a house,
mm-hmm.
and I will even suggest such.
Right.
But people should be able to have access to affordable housing,
okay.
And that is not happening right now.
Like rent to own or something.
Or even
like
rent to own.
Rent to own.
But imagine if minimum wage is at $220,
mm-hmm.
and you have a small family. Where can you afford to take care of a family of making $220 a week? And we must consider that perhaps we need to create a housing which is one room or has a kitchenette a dinette that you can live comfortably for a while until you get to the next level, where someone who making $220 can afford, right, or who making minimum wage can afford. And I find that when the government offer low-cost homes, you find that it's $100,000, $120,000. That is not low cost.
That's no low cost.
That's a middle income cost. You know, few people can afford that.
Right.
Mind you, that's a small house, $100,000. Uh-huh. But the majority of Bahamians are living at a means where they can't even afford that, and they don't have even the opportunity or access to affordable housing. And our government must do more. Our society must do more. And this is where we must go at. Those who can afford need to consider building houses. We need to consider building apartments, consider high rise that more persons can rent spaces. But definitely, you don't have to own a piece of rock, but you should at least have a comfortable place to live.
Right. You make sense. So, in other words, just say if the government was to create a subdivision, rent own. You know, rent own is really, really good, you know, because even if I'm making, the $210 can't pay for those. The $150,000 you talked about, those homes. But I rent a home where I could pay it in about 10 years, and even though I'm making $210, I might could pay him a little $30 a month or $30 a week or something like that because it's rent a home. You know, it can be arranged, you know. It can be arranged.
And definitely rent-to-own can be arranged, and I think that concept needs to be explained to the Bahamian populace because few people actually understand that.
Right.
Explain
a little bit.
Go ahead. Rent-to-own is in order to afford the down payment. So all of that time you're paying a higher rent is that you're requiring the down payment that you don't necessarily have to pay down to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So as you pay it for whatever number of years and whatever fixed amount that you decide to pay, you now put in equity to say, well, now I have enough for the down payment, and then you can start the mortgage payment of it. A number of persons just cannot come up with or afford the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the rental loan concept comes up.
So we're killing two birds with one stone.
Definitely. That's what we're doing.
Wow, you're such an intelligent guy. See why I like to have you on? You know, Naja Black, love you to death. And everyone else love you to death. But I see why I got to sneak you away for them for a few hours. But, you know, you are my friend for you, so hey, they're sneaking you away from me.
Yeah, man, we soldiers, definitely.
Yeah, man. Just one suggestion. So rent a home. Rent a own. Government should also consider that because, like I said, Mr. Nuri explained it quite well. And you see, me and this guy, we have a lot of solutions for the country's problem, you know. If those powers to be were listening to Mr. Nuri on the show and many other shows. In fact, when Mr. Nuri talk about any topic on the show for the last few months, we heard our topic come up the very next week. Am I right, Mr. Nuri?
I always smile at that. It's coincidence. It's just a mere coincidence.
You know, we talk about everything that goes on. So rent a home is something that the government should consider doing. For less fortunate Bahamians.
And mind you, I understand, again, that you want government to assist in these programs, but these are programs I think the private sector needs to invest in.
Okay.
Let me give you an example.
Go ahead, sir. This
will be controversial in general.
Go ahead.
In Abaco, and I can pick on Abaco. In Abaco, we have a large immigrant population, and a number of that immigrant population are living in shanty towns, right?
Yes, sir.
We have middle-income Haitian Bahamians, or Bahamians of Haitian descent, who can afford to build apartments,
okay,
who can afford to rent housing.
All right.
They should be duty-bound
mm-hmm.
to build affordable housing for their countrymen and make it available for them. Instead, you see that there are a number of these underprivileged persons saying, well, they can't afford no more. But I think their community needs to answer that call and make that accessible to them. And by extension, definitely Bahamians who have moved out from the inner city and become middle class needs to consider socially that perhaps I should build an apartment or affordable housing. Right, that to make access to more Bahamians, persons who are in a number of business, who can afford to buy lands and acres, they should be duty bound to create housing that Bahamians can afford. Not these $100,000 housing, but perhaps a $40,000 to $50,000 housing that a young person who just finished school say, well, I have a house. It's only one bedroom. but I paid it by 25, 27. It's paid off. I can use that as equity to buy a bigger house. You know, we need to consider that, right? We have a number of wealthy persons inside the Bahamas who can afford to invest in developing Bahamians to get to the next level. And I know that you say, well, government needs to do this and government needs to do that, but we have Bahamians who can actually assist. And I don't necessarily believe that government should be in housing. Mm-hmm. Such things should be done by private owners.
I agree. Since you explained it, you make great sense. I agree also. The private sector should be involved in giving back and assisting, you know, because we really need it in the country today. Because you talked about the fact that $150,000 is way too expensive, because Mr. Simonet said the cost of building a home on the lots would push the new home owners above the threshold for real property tax concession that are already in place. He said that you heard a member of Freetown say these houses would take $350,000. So that's really putting them in another bucket, you know. So let's take that bucket up. It's very simple. We have a budget coming up. Give a 2-year moratorium, he said. So you're correct, Mr. Nuri. And you're talking about Abaco. You know, we mentioned a few weeks ago about the situation in Abaco. And like I said, when we made suggestion, now we're seeing where we have the Defense Force, Customs, Immigration, the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They recently went into Abaco. And you yourself talked about the situation where we have homes being built that don't have permit. The land that they were building the homes on were actually land owned by private citizens, and those places have been condemned, and no one's supposed to be building on the shantytown land. And there were houses built without permit, without government permission, and et cetera. And we saw where the Ministry of National Security and many different agencies went into Abaco, and they find generators, they find illegal immigrants, they find drugs, and again, the generators. So do you think that was a smart move on the government's behalf to say they're going to demolish these homes in the shantytown community of Abaco, Mr. Nuri?
Well, definitely we cannot tolerate shantytown. It's impossible to have a shantytown. And in fact, the government has been complicit in allowing such to happen. We have persons in shantytowns who have work permits. Yeah. It's impossible. The idea of when you come to renew your work permit, you're supposed to have an address, you know, where you live, what's your street number, you know, where is your water bill, your light bill. But if for some reason, the government gave it to them. We have persons who now in Abaco working on government projects, who are immigrants. You know, how are they working? We have persons who get their citizenship and permanent residency, and you ask where they live, they live in shanty towns. So the government has been complicit in allowing the proliferation of shanty towns, and they need to be held responsible and accountable for that. But definitely, I understand and I appreciate the government going in within the shanty towns in Abaco and destroying them. I think it needs to be done in decency and order. You can't go and I'm having a flashback of Hurricane Dorian having persons kick down the door, you know, then this can't stand. I'm not even going to call which prime minister, which person who did that, you know. I'm not even going to say the person's name.
You look like you take off Kung Fu, eh? You look like you take off Kung Fu when you kick the door down.
You know,
Kung
Fu. It wasn't called for. The optics of it was unfortunate, right? And we, as we manage and as we govern people, we need to understand that people need to have dignity. And the idea of not wanting shanty towns in Abaco is about dignity. We are not going to allow persons to fall below the standard of living and the standard of culture in the Bahamas. Okay. And that's supposed to be the narrative. So you're supposed to go to these people and understand this is our bare minimum. And if you fall below that, unfortunately, you cannot stay here. And that narrative must be done in decency and order and with love and with a gesture. And I don't necessarily think that is happening. I understand we need to solve the issue, but it's how we approach these things. The agencies came together, and rightly so, came and addressed the problem. There are a number of persons said that they might have been harsh. The number of persons said that they confiscated items that personally belongs to people. But we can solve that inside the courts. We can solve that inside the courts, and if they're wrong, the government would be accountable in answer to it.
Yes.
But I think as we go and enforce the law, that we must also make sure that there are options for those people, particularly those people who have legitimacy of living inside the Bahamas, those who are permanent residents, those who are Bahamians, those who are Bahamians in waiting, that they have options to transition from a shantytown to a legitimate place of residence. And I don't necessarily think that is there in Abaco. I think Abaco, there's a shortage of houses. I think there's a shortage of access to home. And if you're going to enforce the law and that is not there, you doing an injustice, a disservice to those people.
Wow, wow, wow! You're so correct. You know, you're correct. You know, make my heart, you hit my heart just now. You know, wow. Mr. Neary, you know, you gave a solution to the problem about the homes that are going to be demolished by the government. You just stated earlier that rent to own, and if some of these Bahamian who are of Haitian descent, and they have been here for so many years that they themselves could probably get one of those homes, and the immigrants who are coming to our shores now can be regulated because we have a registered Bahamian who was residents or people coming to Haiti. And he can tell you exactly how many people are staying with him, you know. And this makes sense, you know, because now you have a home that is up to standard, okay. If there's a fire, you know, most shantytown homes are together. And if we saw what happened with Portisea Dock after lightning strike, the gas tank, we saw that close proximity of the stalls created a blaze that actually disintegrated about 6 or 7 stalls with Portisea Dock, and that's because they were in close proximity. So definitely, like you're saying, when it comes to health, because we also want to make sure that everything is regulated, where the proper sewer and plumbing system is in place so that we don't have open wells that are actually cesspit that actually spreads the cholera, you know, because we had an outbreak of cholera in Albuquerque before Hurricane Dorian. So these are the requirements when we're talking about the shantytown. We're talking about the health issue. We got to make sure there's proper running water, proper sanitation. Hoses are regulated by the electrician to make sure that the hose is up to standard, to stand a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, you know, et cetera. And to make sure that the person who resides in the home is a Bahamian citizen, and we know exactly who is coming to visit him, and when they're leaving the country, or who is coming to try and get a work permit, and probably to the person who's staying in that particular house who now is a registered Bahamian, and we know that he has his documents for his home, we can keep a track on who comes in our country. So, Mr. Neary, you gave a solution, you know, Mr. Neary.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, definitely.
You know, you gave a great solution, and, you know, we have to understand that many persons who are residing in Abaco, they are Bahamian citizens, they might not have, et cetera, but they have been and they get their documents, so they should be also entitled to Pacific land in Abaco, because, listen, we can't get away with get rid of this problem. Many of us, after 1973, is a combination of all walks living here in the country, okay? We have the Chinese were here. We have the Greeks were here. We have the Europeans were here. We have the Americans who are here. We have the Trinidadians who are here. We have the Jamaicans who are here. We have the Haitian nationals who are here. You know, we have the Africans. Actually, all of us are Africans. The Haitians, the Jamaicans, the Trinidadians, even the Europeans, they're Africans also, okay? So, but bear in mind that after 1973, we all became the Bahamas. So we have Haitian descent. We have Jamaican descent, we have Greek descent, we have European descent, and their generation is living on today. So we can't discriminate. The one thing we cannot do is allow for illegal immigrants to come and get these low-cost homes and land. No, that is excluded. We're talking about if you're here, you're being here, you get your documents, you can get your home. Yes, we're talking about you. But when it comes to illegal immigrants sneaking in from Haiti and coming to the Bahamas, you're entitled to nothing in our country. Nothing. And that is not discrimination. It's the rule of law. Because if I was to leave from here and try to go in Jamaica and go try steal someone's land in Jamaica, I would be a dead man. If I try to do it in Haiti as a Bahamian, I can't get no land in Haiti. Okay? If I'm here illegally. But if I'm a Bahamian and I do it the right way, and I do my research and I see there's a home or land in Jamaica, hey, I could go send my documents over. I could go to the immigration office, set up my appointment, and say, I'd like to buy a piece of land in Jamaica, or I'd like to buy land in Haiti. And because I did it the right way, then I could go live there. And there is no one who is going to try and take away the land that I buy because I went the proper way, the legal way. So definitely, yes, for all those who are here in 1973, those who are their paperwork, there's no problem with getting them a piece of the pie. But for those who are coming here illegally in the country, they should get none of our natural resources. We should just show them love, kindness, and try to find the best way possible on how we can accommodate them to probably get out of this country or to probably try to get some documents to stay in Nassau, New Providence, as long as you pass our requirements to become a permanent resident or a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Where you say that, Mr. Nuri?
And I appreciate that, and I agree with you. I think this is why there was a concern when Bahamians heard that the land would be available for immigrants too. We didn't understand exactly what do you mean by immigrant.
Right.
Do you mean Bahamians? And if you're Bahamians, why bring it up? Because
right.
We know that all Bahamians have access to land.
Yes.
And which land are you talking about? So I understand. I understand the angst, and I understand why people were concerned about it. And it's a political season, and we know that people are jockeying for votes. And I think that that's why persons became angst about it. And there was no need to bring such. And we see that our Attorney General has made it an issue and made it put it inside a debate, and as if there is an agenda happening. And it might not be an agenda, no. It's just that to bring it up in a national narrative, to give a platform of saying, oh, yes, we're going to be making lands available for Bahamians of Haitian descent. It's a concerning thing because
yes.
We know the land
yes.
is for Bahamians,
yes.
right?
Yes.
We don't care where they descend from. Once you have the blue book and have you should and the money to pay for the land, right? It shouldn't be no concern. But it clearly, by having the Prime Minister mention it and having the Attorney General mention it, that something is afoot. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but that they felt it necessary to mention it more than once and mention it in particular for Abaco. So I assume that Abaconians should expect something and so they can understand why this narrative continues to come up.
Mm. So you think it's because it's election season and they're trying to use it for their advantage?
There's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate election season. We see that the opposition leader is meeting with Haitian leaders in the community,
yes.
and sending out the clarion call to come and explain your issues. We see the government, sitting government, is also jockeying for that. There is a third of our population of Haitian descent. That's for 400,000. That's for 30,000 plus people. Right,
mm-hmm.
So they should be lobbied and assisted and have their issues addressed. There's
yes.
nothing wrong with that. It's
just
that we need to see it as what it is.
Yeah, because they're here and they're not going nowhere. Don't care how much we cry or we say this and say that, we have to solve the problem. What we can do is make sure that those coming here illegally, we can deal with those. We have to protect our borders. Yeah, you understand? But you're right. They have to get their concern here because you say there's 30,000 to 40,000. Could even be more. Of persons living here in the country of Haitian descent. And yes, because they're here in the country and they're not going nowhere. Don't care how we talk bad about people or talk good about people, the fact of the matter is, don't care what we do, we can't get rid of those people in our country. They're here. And the only thing we can do is protect our borders and make sure we not get overrun with illegal immigrants. But for those who are here who are Bahamian of Haitian descent, you need to go and get your paperwork sorted out. Everyone who here, who been here, living here from 1973, and you are with a descendant who were here 1973, get their passport, get your documents sorted so that you become a Bahamian national of the country. And probably you could help your brothers and sisters who are coming abroad to stay for a little while here. But far as that illegal activity, we can't allow it, because if we allow our country to be overrun, it tends done bad with us now. We done fighting with our PLP and the FNM party, who for the last 40 years have robbed us Bahamian. I'm talking about us Bahamians. You know, rob us blind, got us, don't know where to turn. You know, country got closed down this year. Man, look at tearing so tough on the streets. You can't listen to me. Mr. Nuri, don't walk the streets. Mr. Nuri, you know what? No, walk the street. Walk the real street. Mr. Nuri, you won't have a dollar in your pocket times you don't walk.
I don't walk on walk, no neighborhood. Listen, people's asked what favor. Right.
Too much people listen to me. This is the most. I can't go to the Chinese. I can't go to the Joy. I can't walk to the road. Every time you try to walk the road, someone asks you for $5, $10, dollar. Some people ask to pay their rent. I tell you, one girl the other day, Miss Nuri, I can say it like this. One girl, I was in the truck, Nuri. I was in the truck, honestly. This girl, no, I was doing some work down the road. So someone said, that's the boss right there. You know what this girl come and tell me? Listen to this, Miss Nuri. I could be upfront with you. This girl come to me and say, so, you want to buy me some lunch, eh? I say, you know, I look out of right, because I had one of the $60. I know normally when you go in your pocket now, and you give someone $5 and you get one $20, you end up getting with the $20, you know? So I say, I have it. So she all out, so, listen to me, man. You got any girlfriend? I say, yeah, I have a girlfriend. She home now. I say, why are you asking me all this girl? She say, man, listen to me, man. Right now, say, are you hungry? And ain't nothing in those. Say, man, you don't give me $80 and I could come with you in the truck. Man, look, y'all. And I ain't gonna lie, she'd look good. You know? She'd look good, but I don't take a while to show people, you know, because when I started looking, you know, she saw it, Mr. Nuri, and she had a little pretty face, right? But when I started looking, I said, desperation. And I said, nobody. So I said, I'll go right to the Chinese trade now. So I parked with my boy Roach Club on the corner by you getting my transmission check. So I say, I go right to the Chinese, so I go into the Chinese because I tell you I get $20 bills. You know, you ain't getting that 20. So I go into the Chinese, I buy me one juice. I come back, I say, look, yeah, I buy one juice. Juice costs $1.50. I say, look, yeah, that's what $8.25. I say, see what you can do with that. And that's the desperation we're facing on the streets right now. So the prime minister and the government, listen to me. The country and the citizen are doing bad. This is the worst period in the history of our country. So I'm saying to those people from Haitian descent, like Fred Smith, I mean, who are fighting for the Haitian nationalists in the country, Mr. Smith, we don't have a problem with those here in 1973. We have a problem with those who are coming in illegally in this country and trying to get status in our country. And you, sir, should know that me and Mr. Nuri and all of us who are Bahamians right now are going through hell right now just trying to survive. So you got to be very careful on how you're representing people, sir. You got to be very careful how you're talking with certain topics. Because it seems that you want person who come here illegally in our country to actually have status in our country. If you ain't come the right way after 1973, my brother, you're an illegal immigrant. And that's the bottom line. I don't care how long you've been here. You understand? And if you don't have your documents, you're here illegally. But if you've been here for a certain amount of time, you could go and get yourself checked out by immigration to make sure that even though you come here illegally, you still might get a residency or become a Bahamian citizen because you've been staying here for such a long time and our authorities have done a worthless job of apprehending you. So essentially, you were awarded a detection for 20 to 30 years and living here in the country and you yourself were paying taxes, then you should be required to go and get your documents. Where you got to sit in, Mr. Nuri?
There's nothing to say and nothing to add. Clearly, you've thought about it, and it is what it is. And I think people just need to understand what the law is, and the law needs to be enforced. And it doesn't need to be a double standard law. I think that's the angst and we're causing the frustration. One minute it's this way, and then the next minute is the next, where some people are benefiting, and then there are other persons who are having the hard end of the law. So all of that is causing the angst and making people frustrated. There needs to be a clear way of citizenship, and it shouldn't be done by favors. And you know that if you are here illegally, you cannot get citizenship unless you go out of the country. Mm-hmm. You cannot get a work permit unless you go out of the country and enforce these laws. When we see that that is not consistent, that persons here who are working do not leave the country to apply for work permits, mm-hmm. you know? And this is causing the angst and the frustration amongst Bahamian people, because I think we are very accommodating. I think that we are immigrant-friendly, despite words that we use. We tend to use some harsh words.
Look what's happening in the Dominican Republic. Brothers and sisters,
They're not sensible like us. We are sophisticated people.
And who closer
Dominicans,
to them?
Dominicans ain't sensible like Bahamians.
But
we
who
come
to
from
them?
People.
They only one little border separate them, one little river. You could just walk across the bridge and they're brothers and sisters, right? And they are the worst towards the Haitian national. You know, and I have no problem with Haitian
nationality. And I understand that, but we are sensible people and chosen people who are blessed by God. We cannot compare ourselves to the Dominicans because we are a blessed nation and we do things in decency and order. And even though we use some harsh words, I think we are very accommodating to immigrants and the Haitian people in particular. But I find that there are instances where they take advantage of the law, and the law must be enforced.
That's what we're talking about. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about those come here illegally, take advantage of the law. Yes. And me and you can't take advantage of the law. Now, mind you, like I tell you, I have plenty Haitian friends, and I love them to death. I'm just saying to you, if we want to preserve our country and for us to have a country, we have to regulate it, and we need to regulate it fast.
And I want to echo also that we also must be accommodating. And accommodating means that we do have a diverse amount of people in the Bahamas who are living here and who are contributing. So when we are having the discourse, even if you disagree, we must be dispassionate. We must understand that words do hurt and cause ill feelings.
Yes.
And that we even though we want to express a particular stance, that I cannot tolerate that. We understand that there are a number of Bahamians here who are descended from immigrants in general, and that your statement may alienate them, your statements may frustrate them in terms of their contribution to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. If you listen to John Canoe, that John Canoe music, especially through Mason's Edition and Saxon's Way, is permeated and thrived through Haitian blood and sweat and tears.
That's Haitian, Mason's Edition,
beating the drums, right?
Yes,
you know,
correct.
If you go to Pornoski Dock and see that conch that is drying on the dock, because I don't eat that conch to be drying on the dock, that is of Haitian blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
If you go on Pornoski Dock and see the crab lady, that crab lady is saying bonjour or bonsoir when you come and greet her. Right, who sells the fruits and vegetables, that they are also contributing. And as they contribute, we need to say, hey, miss, thanks for doing your part.
Yes.
We will see how best we can assist you in terms of your transition.
Yes.
We don't appreciate you breaking any laws, but if you are contributing to the national discourse of the Bahamas, we are prepared to accommodate you and have you live in decency and order.
Yes, and you can get a piece of property. Yes, I agree, Mr. Nuri, because...
You can buy a piece of property. You don't get the property.
My bad. I apologize. You're right, sir. Well, Mr. Nuri, you're a very intelligent guy. I think we make a good team. I think over the course of the years, we're going to become more closer. I think that we're going to see great change in the country. I think that persons like yourself are... what we need, you know, to be on the airwaves, to have a heart. Even though you're talking, you're still showing compassion. You're saying to me, you know, we got to watch our words. You're saying to the Bahamian people, we got to watch how we talk to people. Even though I was stating the fact that Dominicans who are closer to Haiti are by just walking distance, they treat them terribly. But Nuri is still saying that we have to watch our tone of voice because, yes, you talk to the Blood Lady, she contribute to our country. And there's no reason why we can't give her her required paper as long as she does the proper procedure. Yes, it's no problem with that. I agree. So we're completely out of time. Mr. Nuri, I know you got on late, but you still contributed greatly. For those who are listening to Mr. Nuri, if you're where he is right now, Mr. Nuri is a revolutionary. Voices like him are making the biggest difference in our country because they're making some valid points. They're providing solution to the country problem, and they're outspoken, but they're respectful in how they speak. And that's how I grow myself up to be also. And we share that in common. So I want to thank Mr. Nuri for a wonderful contribution today. Mr. Nuri, you want to say any final words? You want to save your ears? You want to say special thanks to anyone? Go ahead, my brother.
I just want to say it's election season, and I am excited, and all kind of work to be done. So I just want to remind people there, remember C.A. Nuri, and money got to be made.
I want to thank you very much for a wonderful contribution. I want to also thank all of the callers who called in today. You guys did a phenomenal job calling on the show, make some valid points. I mean, that caller was on par when he talked about the female. And we really need to get our identity back. Our ladies need to become ladies again, start cooking, cleaning, being a partner with a husband or a boyfriend, and trying to develop together to grow, to push one another to become successful in life so that we can have a better generation of future leaders. And that comes from the fact that we have to really, really, really invest in our youths. We have to invest in the community. We have to invest in the prison. We have to invest in ourselves. Okay? And remember, parents, speak to your kids. If you see a child, see other kid eating the cheese doodoo and starts to cry for it, you need to discipline your child. Because that child grow up liking other people's teens, and because they can't get it, they start to cry, and they will go and try to take it. That's the first step of them becoming a bully. That's the first step of them becoming a criminal element, because they already start to do armed robbery. Okay? So stand up for what's right in the country. Okay? Stand up for what's right. Not because you love your child, that don't mean you can't correct your child if you see them doing something wrong. Because if you love blinding you, you would say, that is wrong. And then the child start crying, and you would pump at the child. The child does something wrong. Instead of you still being on the child, you're going to rob the child and try to comfort the child even though the child is doing something wrong. And that's where we're going wrong. If the child has done something wrong, steal something, you can't go and actually rob them and, baby, don't cry. It's all right, mommy. Love you, or daddy, love you. You spoiling the child. Okay? It starts with you. Okay? So I want to thank Guardian Radio for having me on. I want to thank Dr. Cecil Nuri for a wonderful contribution today. I want to thank all of the callers who did a wonderful, wonderful contribution today. And I want to thank my producer, Mr. Ali Roll, for such a wonderful job he does producing these wonderful shows. So everyone, please be safe. Block of prayer. And again, my condolences goes out to the 6 families and 2 families that are in critical condition at the hospital. I wish for you a speedy recovery. And to the parents, fathers and mothers and grandparents, just be strong. Okay? God knows what's best, and probably this will bring you stronger, okay? And everyone else, please stay away from confrontation. Stay away from argument, okay? If you're going to argue with somebody, just walk away and go home, okay? So without that, I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. Enjoy. Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come.